it's time for Rain and Shine, your weekly regional science update, where we explore how the planet works and how we work with the planet. As we humans start to come out of the COVID-19 pandemic, birds are just getting into one of their own. The latest strand of what is turning out to be a highly pathogenic avian influenza has recently made it from Europe, where it originated, killing over 17 million birds, to the North American continent, where so far, farmers have lost, through death or preventative culling, over 24 million chickens and turkeys. Avian influenzas are classified into two categories, low pathogenic and high pathogenic. The categories refer to molecular characteristics of a virus and its ability to cause disease and high mortality in infected poultry. The avian flu is transmitted to domestic birds like chicken and turkey by wild waterfowl like ducks as they migrate. Usually wild birds are more resistant to the disease, but this time around there have been reported cases of whole wild flocks of Canadian geese and snow geese dying from the flu since the start of the year. NPR reported this week that over 8,000 cranes died in Israel and a flock of 40,000 birds. Wild birds are usually pretty resistant to these flu strains, but a 20% fatality rate is alarmingly high. This week, I asked a third-generation Midwest chicken farmer, Jim Kleimschmidt, why he was worried or not about his birds. He told me that he was not worried about them, and the main reason why we see such high fatality rates in domestic chickens is that those birds are not kept in ways that keep them healthy. Their breeding, feeding, and care are so dismal, and they are already carrying high viral loads, all of which compromise or completely wipe out their immune systems. This, and a continuously high state of anxiety, makes the birds all the more prone to this newly introduced flu. As most of us know by now, most chickens raised for meat or eggs live very, very close to each other, each bird having little to no space of their own, meaning that when a disease is introduced, transmission is swift and fatality total. The thing that most of us may not realize is that the majority of certified organic chickens live in less than a foot of space. The USDA recently declined to add that mandatory foot to the organic standard. Free-range labels can also be misleading, as it may simply mean the birds are not kept in single cages or are let out for just 1 hour of sunlight each day. Chickens, as poultry farmer Jim reminded me, are originally jungle birds. They thrive naturally outside under a multi-storied canopy of trees. That's how Jim and the other farmers he founded Tree Range Chickens with raise their birds, in multi-storied silvo pastures from which they also are able to sell elderberries and hazelnuts. The trees protect the chickens not just from predators, but also from the spread of the avian flu. The droppings of waterfowl flying overhead or looking for flat fields to land on are intercepted by the trees. Additionally, because the birds are outside in a habitat very similar to the one in which they evolved, and eating a varied diet of forage as well as a staple of sprouted organic grains, their immune systems are strong and their ability to fight infection is higher than the average farmed chicken. This struck me as similar to what we saw with COVID-19, that people who had compromised immune systems or pre-existing conditions that gave rise to underlying inflammation or stress were hit much harder and more likely to die from an infection. Just to be clear, the CDC considers the current risk of transmission from chickens to humans from this current bird flu to be very low. We are still learning about pandemics, but what I have learned from this so far is that our health and well-being, and the health and well-being of the animals and plants we live around and with, and which we cultivate to eat, is critical, not only morally, but also physically. And when it comes to fast-moving, highly transmissible diseases, the best action is prevention. Supporting immunity, which means supporting healthy, microbiologically and biotically diverse ecologies, is an essential individual responsibility. And enacting preventative measures that help to limit exposure and protect those populations who are more at risk is an essential societal one. To learn what you can do to prevent the spread of avian flu, visit the USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service or the CDC website. We have a link to these and other resources on our Facebook page. You've been listening to Rain and Shine, a production of the Learning Council, produced by Corey Stanton and written and narrated by me, Calla Rose Ostrander. To submit your nature and science questions, email us at rainshineweekly@gmail.com or visit our Facebook page. And thanks for listening.